Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. Very warm welcome to our Harvest Thanksgiving service this afternoon. If we haven't met before, my name is James. I'm the new minister here, and we're very glad to have you with us today as we come to worship God. Things will be a little bit different today because we're having a family service, and so there'll be more interactivity stuff for the kids as we go through. There will still be a Sunday school. It'll be shorter than normal. But the creche will be on, and the middle group will go out for a little bit, but the older ones, the jam group, will stay in for the whole service. And there is a collection plate there that we're taking in aid of the Lochalsh, the Sky and Lochalsh Food Bank. So if you'd like to contribute to that, it's on the table by the door. We are having a congregational lunch after the service, so please do stay behind for that. If you're able to do so, you're more than welcome. I'm sure there will be enough food to go around, so please do stay and come and say hello. I'd love to meet you. Just a reminder of the service in Glen Elg this evening. It'll be our last sermon on 1 Thessalonians. We've been going through the letter in the last few weeks, so if you're able to come through to Glen Elg this evening for 6 o'clock, we'd love to see you there at the Church of Scotland building. There are other things in the bulletin for you. We do have our Wednesday Bible study groups. We're currently meeting in Glen Elg and in Dorney, or in within it if people are away. So if you'd like to get involved with those, please come and speak to myself, one of the elders, and we'll point you in the right direction. And there's also an online Bible study for the men and the women. So if you'd like to be involved in that, it's a simple, really great thing to do. Just get people reading the Bible together, even though we can't be in the same place. Again, please come and speak to us if you'd like to be involved with that. And our communion is coming up next month, month of November. The dates are in the bulletin. If you'd like to come discuss joining the church, becoming a communicant member, an official part of our congregation, we'd love to hear from you. Please do come and speak to us as well. Is there anything else? I did say that. Yes. That's all right. Well, if Colin's not listening, then we've got no hope. That's great. So we'll come and worship God then together. We'll be called to the worship of his great and holy name from with a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians. They should be on the front of your bulletin there if you want to read along with them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10. And 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So let's give thanksgiving and praise to God. We'll sing from the Psalm 67 in the Blue Books, page 84. So it's the Sing Psalms version of Psalm 67. It's a wonderful psalm of mission, of reaching the nations and the peoples with the message of God and just thanking him for all his great provision and blessings. Psalm 67, God be merciful and bless us. Shine upon us with your face, that the earth may know your actions, and all lands your saving grace. Let's stand then together and sing Psalm 67.
God be merciful and bless us.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of year when we can come together to give you thanks for the harvest, to give you thanks for the provision that you've made for us for another year, to give thanks for your blessings, to give thanks for the rains and for the sun and for all the things that come together to bring the food that we enjoy and that keep us sustained. And we remember, Lord, that ultimately all this comes from you, that you make the seed grow, you make the food come to be. You are the one who has made everything to work in the way that it does, and you have blessed us greatly with all that we have, all that we can enjoy. We give you thanks for those who work in agriculture, in farming. We pray that you bless them, that you give them encouragement, that you would give them strength. It's a hard, long job that they have, and it's often thankless. And so we, O Lord, give thanks for them now, today, remembering their work, remembering their labors. And we pray that you would bless the fruits of their works, that which we all benefit from. We give you thanksgiving, Lord, for the harvest of Christ, all of your people, Lord, that he will gather together in his name to join with you for eternity. We pray, O Lord, that you would send workers out into your harvest to work in your churches, amongst your people, to preach the gospel, to share the good news, to lead, to encourage, to disciple, to help one another, to minister and care for each other, to show each other the wonderful blessings of God and the love of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, you would help all of us to turn to Christ today, turn to his love, turn to his life that he offers, turn to the salvation found only in him, turn to the eternal life that he has bought with his blood, and help us to look to Christ for our all in all, for our Savior, for our Lord, for our King, for our friend, the one who comforts us, the one who sustains us, the one who loves us. We are so thankful for the young ones, Lord, and we pray that they would be blessed by what they hear today and by what they hear in Sunday school week from week. Lord, we pray that you would help them to see the light of God and the love of Christ. And you'd help all of us to do the same, to turn away from sin, to turn away from rebellion, and to turn to life and to love and to the light of God, which banishes the darkness away. Be with us then, we pray, and help us and strengthen us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Great stuff. We'll sing again then. I remember this week I forgot Psalm 126 last week, so we're going to sing it again this week. But it does work, it is relevant. So we'll sing Psalm 126, page 171 of the Blue Psalm Books there, and we'll just sing the whole psalm through. Psalm 126, page 171. When Zion's fortunes God restored, it was a dream come true. Our mouths were then with laughter filled, our tongues with songs anew. Let's stand then and sing, if we're able to do so, Psalm 126.
When Zion's fortunes God restored, it was a dream.
So we'll turn now to the Bible, to the Word of our God. And we have two readings today. We have one reading from the Old Testament and one from the New. One from the book of Exodus and one from the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to be reading two passages today. Exodus 16 is where we'll find the first one. If you're using the church Bibles here, you'll find it on page 74. Page 74 for Exodus 16, and then we'll skip through to Luke 12 after we have read these verses here. So Exodus 16, verse 11, so about halfway down the page on the left-hand column, we'll find the beginning of our reading. So Exodus 16, then from verse 11. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. May he give us all the ears to hear it today. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. And then Moses said to them, No one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until the morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left, and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord, and you will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. And then the Lord said to Moses, How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day, and no one is to go out. And so the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. And so Moses said to Aaron, Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. And then we'll move forward to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 12. Again, this is found on page 1044 of the Church Bible. So a little bit further ahead for the young'uns if they want to skip through. page 1044. Now we're in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and we're going to be reading from verse 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, that is Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but it is not rich towards God." Amen. And we ask that the Lord God bless these readings of his word to us today. Alright, if you want to go out to your groups, the smaller or younger ones, you can do. If you want to stay in church, you're welcome to stay as well. Please don't feel forced to go, but I think Fiona has something very, very exciting planned for you if you want to go out, and there'll be creche as well for those who want it or need it. As the young ones are escaping for the last part of our service, we'll sing Psalm 4. Sing Psalms right on page 4 of your psalm book, Psalm 4. We're just going to sing verses 3 to 8 of Psalm 4. "Know that the Lord has set apart the godly as his own. The Lord will hear me when I call and make my request make." No, let's stand then and sing Psalm 4 together. talk for too long. We have a lunch to look forward to, and the kids will be excited to get back, I'm sure. But I want to go over the passages again that we have read and just look at them in a little bit more depth. But I won't go on for too long, I promise, because we are looking today at Thanksgiving. We're giving thanks to God for his provision for another year, for the harvest, and for his blessings to us, so that we can therefore go forth and be a blessing to others. We are thanking God for all he has done for us this year. I'm thanking God that I am here today. We had a very, very near miss in the car yesterday coming back from Inverness. So all five of us are in the car, and it would have been quite messy, but we managed to get out of the way. So I'm thankful that we're here. I'm thankful that God has protected us and brought us home. There was lots of things to be thankful for. And it might not have been the best year. You know, we had a lot of rain over the summer. I know some harvests were affected by the rain we had. And we've not had a lot of sun. The harvests are, they come and go depending on the seasons. But we still have something to give thanks for. We still are able to go to our shop and get a loaf of bread. We're still able to have milk for our coffee and our tea and our cereal. We are still greatly blessed by God's provision. We read two passages today from both Testaments, the Old and the New, because I want us to think about what God has done for us, is doing for us, and think about how we can be thankful, truly thankful, how we can use what God has given us to be a blessing for others. We read how God blessed Israel with the manna from heaven, with a daily provision of food every day for 40 years. That was a special event. It had a special purpose. God doesn't do that today, but he is the same God. He has the same care for his people. He has the same love for his church and wants to see them do well. We also read the parable of the rich fool, where Jesus tells a story, tells a parable of a farmer who has had a very successful year, who's pretty much been set for life by the abundance of grain or the abundance of his harvest. But his problem is not that his barns were not big enough to store all his harvest. His problem was that he was not thankful. We heard the story of how he needed bigger barns, and he didn't have Ken to lift up the children to build his barns taller, but he knocked down his old ones and he built bigger barns and he filled them to the brim with his harvest. He was so well off, so blessed, so rich that he could then sit back and just take life easy. The phrase that we hear a lot: eat, drink, and be merry. And in many ways, the world would look at this farmer and say, this is a wise guy. He sees he doesn't have enough room to store all his harvest. If it gets left outside, it'll just rot away from the rain and the elements. It needs to be stored to keep it fresh and usable. And he's doing well with his wealth. He's looking after what he has been given. He is wise. But that's not what the Bible calls him. The Bible calls him a fool. In the story, in the parable, God speaks to this man and calls him a fool. He says, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Your life will be demanded from you. You have prepared for a future that will never come. Your time has ended. The word, the use of the word full is an interesting one. We use the word full in so many different ways. We throw it around quite casually. You know, we mean a person that is maybe not quite that smart, who makes decisions that aren't great, who's maybe a little bit flaky or something. You know, we use the word fool a lot. But biblically, the word fool is never used lightly. It has lots of connotations with it. It's actually quite a harsh word, quite a dire word to use. Because to call someone a fool in the biblical sense means they do not know God. You do not know God's ways. You do not know who he is. You do not know his love. You do not know his grace. Not only is it an ignorance of God, but it is also a kind of outright rejection of God. It is saying, I do not want God in my life. They have built their lives in such a way to try and keep God out, to try and keep him out of the picture as much as possible. That was this farmer's problem, his foolishness. Not in the way he managed his goods, but in his heart, in his attitude towards God, and thusly his attitude towards others. He did not thank God for his harvest. He did not thank God for his blessings. He did not remember that it was God who ultimately brought him his fortunes. He had great wealth, but this led to great greed. His heart was wrong. When God had gifted him with this great blessing, this great wealth, what was it he should have done? Firstly, he should have given thanks to God for his great blessing. The law of Israel commanded as well that farmers were to give back a portion of their harvest to the temple, to God, to sacrifice to him, to give thanks for his provision. Not just any part of the harvest, but the first fruits, the best part. The best part of your harvest was to be a gift to God and a gift for his service. But he didn't do this. He didn't give back. He didn't give thanks. There's no mention that he gained his wealth immorally, that, you know, that he ripped off somebody to gain extra land, or that he didn't pay his labor as well. There's no mention of that at all. He may have been a good, honest, hardworking farmer. He had simply been blessed with a good year. But he refuses to return the blessing. He keeps the blessing for himself. That is his fault with the attitude that he has to what was given him. Five times he speaks in this short parable, but he speaks in the possessive. He speaks of what he will do with my fruit, my barn, my goods, and my soul. He constantly thinks about himself, passing no thought for God, passing no thought for others, just me, 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 mine, 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 no sharing of his blessings, only caring about his own happiness, his own wealth, his own well-being. And he speaks to himself. He speaks to his own soul. He speaks only with care for himself. His heart should have been thankful. His heart should have been generous. And we might think, you know, we're much different than he is. But for many of us, the reality is we are the same. We don't think about what we have as coming from God. We don't think about what we have as a blessing from God. We think about our possessions and all these kind of things as things that we have earned through hard work over the years, which is true. But ultimately, they come from God. He should have remembered God. He should have given thanks. And he should have been generous. The law of Israel provided clear and certain provisions for the poor. He should have thought about the poor and the hungry.
He didn't have to give away everything he had, so much so that he would make a loss and wouldn't be able to support himself. But there was, in the law of God, provision made for the poor and the work of God. They were to give back to the temple to help the work of God, to help the priests, to sacrifice to the Lord. And when the fields were harvested, they were also given instructions of how to care for the poor, how to look after those who might be traveling through the area and who might need food. They were to leave a strip of the field unharvested. They were to harvest the majority of their field, but leave a certain portion of it left for the poor, so that when they had finished, those who did not have land of their own, those who did not have the provision that they needed, could go and take some of the grain for themselves. They were also not to go back and pick up any of the harvest that may have been dropped as they were carrying it from the field to the storeroom. They were to leave things there for people who might be traveling and who might need something. The way that you farmed and that you did your work, there was a provision, there was a care, there was a thought for those less fortunate than yourself. But the story that Jesus told, this man did none of these things. And then he is told his time has come. And all that wealth means nothing. It's empty. It's useless to him. Who will benefit now? The building of barns is not a bad thing. Having a great abundant harvest is not a bad thing. Being wealthy is not a bad thing. But our attitude towards it is what matters. It's what's important. The whole reason Jesus told this parable was because a man came up to him and asked him to moderate between himself and his brother in gaining his inheritance. This is something that rabbis would often do. Jesus doesn't question whether or not his claim on this money, on this inheritance, was legitimate. He may have been ripped off by his brother. He may have just been simply wanting what was his by right. But the way that Jesus responds to this man's question would suggest his heart was not in the right place, that he was only after what he could get, much like the son in the parable of the prodigal son. Just wanted what was his so he could go off and do his own thing. We need to remember to keep God in his proper place, at the forefront of our lives, giving thanks for all he does for us. Because he cares for us and he provides for us, which is what we read of in this passage in Exodus. God's provision for his people, his normal daily provision that we experience, the rain and the suns and the harvest and the winds that spread the seed, everything is part of his normal provision. But he also has a special provision for his people. Israel had just escaped slavery. God had rescued them, delivered them from oppression, saved them from their enemies, showed the world that he is God. Do not cross me. Do not cross my people. See what happened to Egypt, the great superpower of the ancient world, humbled, brought to its knees by an all-powerful God. See what he has done. And now they were wandering through the great wilderness, through the desert, through the rocky outcrops, through the... There wasn't much there. It was just desert wilderness. They're on their way to the promised land, the land that God had promised Abraham would belong to his people, his descendants. This would be their home. This would be where they lived. This would be their blessing. And from there, they would go and bless the world. But they weren't there yet. And they cannot farm in the desert. They cannot grow crops. They had some livestock with them, but managing them was difficult. If you're a nomadic people, you cannot live off the land in the same way that settled peoples can. There's no regular harvest. There's no regular planting and growing and tendering your crops. And the people were getting hungry. They brought some provisions with them when they left Egypt, but this was running out, if not already gone. They were grumbling. They were hungry. You know, when people get hungry, they get really grumpy. You know, I get grumpy. My kids get grumpy. I'm sure you get grumpy when you're a bit hungry. And they were moaning, be like, why did we come out here? Why did we leave Egypt? You know, we had loads of food there. We're going to starve to death in this desert. Why did we listen to Moses? Why did we listen to God? They were grumbling. They were moaning. They were hungry. But God heard them. He heard their grumbles. And he had a plan for them. And so he fed them. For 40 years, he fed them. He gave them this bread, this manna from heaven that was on the ground every morning, bar the Sabbath day, feeding the people, sustaining the people. God blessed them greatly. Even when they were ungrateful, God still provided for them. God blessed Israel despite their mistakes because they were to be a blessing for the whole world. They were blessed to be a blessing. And while the ultimate fulfillment of this blessing was Jesus Christ himself, they were tasked with blessing their world by teaching them about God, about leading them to God the Father, and by caring for them, by caring for the poor, by helping the needy, by blessing those who were less fortunate. So we too today, as we give thanks to God for the harvest, are to remember how God has blessed us with food and shelter and clothing, and to do what we can to care for others in need. We're helping out the local food bank today, which is a really great thing to do. I'm sure many of you also help by giving clothes to Blythewood and these kind of things. It's just the small, little things that go a long way. But we often forget. And Israel often forgot as well, which is why they were commanded to take some of the manna, take some of this bread from heaven, put it in a jar, and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Put it somewhere that is holy. Put it in a place that you will remember, because when you worship me, it will be there. You won't see it. It's covered away, but it is there. Remember. And unlike the regular bread that went off after one night, this one lasted. Part of God's covenant, his contract, his promise was provision for his people, providing for their physical needs and for their spiritual needs. God's provision didn't stop when the manna stopped coming in the morning. God still brings the rain. God still brings the sun. He still brings the seed to grow. He still helps the animals give birth, and the wind still comes to sow the seed. God is still providing. He's still blessing, and we should be blessing forward ourselves. So give thanks to God today. Give thanks for the farmers. They don't get enough thanks. They don't get enough praise. Give thanks for them. Thanks for their work, for their labors. They work hard night and day. They get little time off. They don't make a lot of money off of it. They don't get much help from others. Pray for them. Pray for farmers and crofters and smallholders. Pray for those who are doing their little bit to help feed our nation. So when you go to the co-op and you buy your bread or your digestive biscuits or whatever, just remember to give thanks to God for those who worked, and to give thanks to God for him who blesses the fruits of their labor. Let's go and be blessed and be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these stories that show us of your blessing, of your provision, of your love, and also how we can get it so wrong, of how we can forget where our blessing comes from. and be greedy and keep all for ourselves, which ultimately is useless. So help us to remember how blessed we are and to go forth and be a blessing to others in whatever way we can, and to always be thanking you for your provision, for your care, and for your love. And also, Lord, going and spreading and sharing the love of Christ, the greatest blessing anyone could ever have, forgiveness from their sins, unity with Christ, adoption by you, our Father in heaven. Help us, O Lord, to go and be a blessing in all these ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Great. Well, we'll conclude our service by singing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The words on the back of your bulletins. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Let's stand and sing together our final hymn.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God.
Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, be with you and with all God's people now and forevermore. Amen.